James chapter 1, and we'll read the first five verses together. James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we look at your word, and we're grateful that we can look to you in the trials and troubles that we face in our life. Lord, we're grateful that you are faithful, and we're grateful that your grace is sufficient. So, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would direct us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I probably should have mentioned this during the song or the beginning of the message, but if you do need an outline, we do have them available. You can follow along with our message this evening. Have you ever noticed that the strongest and most gracious of God's promises are spoken to those who face great troubles and trials in their life? Throughout the centuries, Christians have endured many persecutions and many trials. Of course, this was particularly true during the early church when Nero was the first Roman emperor and he took many lives from Christians. In 64 AD, Rome was burned and Nero blamed the Christians for its burning. In the second century, the emperor decreed that all Christians should sacrifice to the Roman gods, and those who refused were killed. He killed tens of thousands, including 10 pastors at Crete. And when James wrote about God's comfort in this passage of Scripture, these believers understood what it truly meant to be persecuted. They truly understood what suffering was all about. And yet James writes to these believers so that they would understand that during trials, God's comfort was both available and it was also sustaining, that God would help and direct through trials. There's a couple of essential thoughts that we have to be reminded of when it comes to God's comfort. First of all, our God is a God of comfort. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, that God is a God of all comforts. All comfort comes from God. And whether you are comforted through the love of another Christian, or you're comforted through the local church or through the Scriptures, all comfort is directed from God and through God's word. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. In John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another of the same, the Bible says, that he may abide with you forever. We also learn in the Bible that that we should comfort one another with God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says to comfort one another with these words. These words speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus again and that comfort that it brings. Now, James, who penned the epistle or the letter, the book of James, was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. He was the earthly brother of Christ. He was skeptical concerning Jesus' divinity, but after the resurrection of the Lord, he was convinced that Christ was God, and he trusted him as his Savior. He became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. James is writing to Jewish believers, and they are scattered abroad because of persecution. The reality is that these believers understood trials. They were a reality in their life. He begins by saying, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Understand that their scattering was because of persecution and trials in their life. During the 12th century, a man named Peter Waldo heard the gospel and trusted Christ as his Savior. He became an evangelist, traveling and preaching the gospel throughout Italy under the persecution of the Roman Catholic Church. Because of the severity of the persecution, many Waldensians, as they were called, located themselves in the steep and rugged valleys of the Alps for safety. There in caves, they would gather on Sunday mornings, and they would celebrate the resurrection of Christ and worship the Lord. This went on for over 400 years as the Waldenses' underground church continued to carry out the Great Commission in spite of tremendous persecution. And then in 1655, after a seemingly lull to the persecution, the Duke of Savoy sent his army into the mountains and ordered a gruesome slaughter. The horrors of this massacre are indescribable. Not content with simply killing their victims, the soldiers and the monks were accompanied with invented barbaric tortures. Babies and children had their limbs ripped off their bodies by sheer strength. Parents were forced to watch the torture of their own children as they themselves would later be tortured and killed. Fathers were forced to wear the decapitated heads of their own children, and these fathers were then marched to their own death. Some of these Christians were literally plowed into their own fields. Some were flayed or burnt alive. Many endured even worse than this. Unburied bodies, dead and alive, covered the ground. Hundreds of the Waldenses fled for a large cave in the towering mound. Murderous soldiers, however, found them and threw them over that mountain to their death. Few survived, and yet those who survived continued to follow the Lord. Those who survived continued to meet together and to worship Christ, knowing it would mean their persecution. Yet they clung to God's word and received His grace and grew in faith. Their faith is a testimony that God's grace is sufficient in difficult times. Now, although you may not be facing intense persecutions in your marriage as a couple, the reality is that all of us face a time of trial, a time of pressure. If you've been married for any length of time, you would agree that life brings troubles. Life brings trials. You feel as though you are running from Satan's attack. Maybe you feel like you're hiding in a cave of loneliness. Maybe you feel like you're watching destruction come into the lives of people you love or facing some type of ongoing trial. I don't know what the trouble or trial that you're facing or will face may be. Maybe it's a trial that's financial. Perhaps maybe you lost your job or you have trouble finding a job. Maybe it's bills or debts, or maybe it's bankruptcy. Perhaps your trouble or trial will be health-related. Perhaps you're dealing with doctors, maybe tests, maybe treatment or hospitals or pain, or maybe you're just facing exhaustion. Maybe your trial is a child who is struggling. Maybe your trial is a child who is rebelling, or maybe they have left the faith altogether. Maybe you've lost a child, or maybe you're not able to have children. Maybe it's an unfaithful spouse, or the death of a parent. Maybe it's a child with special needs, or maybe it's a deep life disappointment that you're facing. The reality is the possibilities are far-reaching than just this list. We could go on and on with the various troubles and trials that we potentially could face. But the reality is that no matter how great the trial, the grace of God surpasses it. God is able. These times of trial have the potential to make us, or on the other hand, they have the potential to break us. They can drive us to each other as a couple, or they can drive us apart. And our study tonight, really just biblical truths from the book of James, I want us to notice some principles when it comes to trials, turbulence that comes into our life. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you notice the perspective in turbulence? The perspective in turbulence. No one likes unexpected turbulence. No one really anticipates turbulence on airplanes or even in life. And yet there's one thing that we can be assured of tonight is that turbulence is going to come. Troubles, trials, they're going to come. Someone has often said that you're coming into a trial, you're in a trial, you're leaving a trial. Life is filled with trouble, as Job reminds us of. Someone once compiled a list of advice to student pilots. Here's what they said. Takeoffs are optional. Landings are mandatory. Flying isn't dangerous. Crashing is dangerous. It's always better to be down here wishing you were up there than up there wishing you were down here. The only time you have too much fuel is when you're on fire. The propeller is just a big fan in front of the plane used to keep the pilot cool. When it stops, you can actually watch the pilot start sweating. A good landing is one from which you can walk away. You walk away, that's a good landing. A great landing is one after which you can use the plane again. That's a great landing. You know you've landed with the wheels up if it takes full power to taxi to the ramp. Never let an airplane take you somewhere your brain didn't get 5 minutes earlier. Stay out of the clouds. The silver lining everyone keeps talking about might be another airplane going in the opposite direction. Someone said this, it's always a good idea to keep the pointy end going forward as much as possible. Always try to keep the number of landings you make equal to the number of takeoffs you've made. That's great advice for a student pilot, you know. Although we don't enjoy turbulent seasons in life, we shouldn't be surprised when they come. In fact, that's what the Bible teaches us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. And though when troubles come, when turbulence come, we often think it's strange. We're always surprised when troubles come into our life. Think for a moment of the testimony of Job and his wife. I mean, it's an incredible story. And one day, Job lost everything. They lost their 10 children. Job eventually lost his health. We see really a glimpse of the strain that it had on their marriage. Think about this. This is the recorded words of Job's wife in Job 2:9. Does thou still retain thine integrity? She said, curse God and die. Job's wife was allowing the trial to make her question God, and even to question her husband's trust in the God of the Bible. And yet I love the response of Job. Job said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Job persisted in trust, and it seems his wife came along as well. In fact, as we study through the book of Job, we come to the end of the book. We realize that God restored everything that had been lost in Job's life, and he also gave to them 10 more children. God desires to bless us through our times of turbulence. Remember that. God desires to bless us in the difficult seasons of our life. And trials do place pressure on the most tender places of our heart. But rather than allowing troubles and turbulence to tear our marriage apart, it's important to allow, by the grace of God, allow turbulence to bring us closer to each other, ultimately to bring us closer to the Lord. How does this occur? Well, first of all, we need to rely on accurate data. We need to rely on accurate data. Experienced pilots say, and I'm not an experienced pilot, I actually like to keep my feet on the ground, to be honest with you, but experienced pilots will tell you that the most difficult and dangerous conditions for flying is being completely surrounded by fog or by clouds. In fact, with no visual points of reference, it's easy to become disoriented. Pilots report not being able to tell if they are climbing or falling, or even if they're flying upside down. You become completely disoriented. In fact, investigators believe that this kind of confusion was responsible for the plane crash that killed John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife in 1999. Kennedy was only rated for VFR, visual flight rules, as a pilot, but the plane itself got caught in fog and it crashed, killing everyone on board. Now, an experienced pilot knows to believe the instrument gauges over the internal sense of direction. And we looked at this morning, actually, truth over feeling, and how we are to follow absolute truth in the Word of God and not how we feel. God's Word to a Christian is the gauges of an instrument panel are to a pilot. And we are to trust the Word of God in seasons of distress and in uncertainties in our life, oftentimes in life's turbulence. We feel our feelings don't match up to the truth of God's Word. And how we feel is different than what God declares in the Bible. And the temptation that we have is to trust our intuition, to trust our feelings, and not to trust the Bible. You see, at the end of the day, couples who trust their intuition often respond to troubles and trials the same way that Job's wife responded to turbulence in their life. Oftentimes, people look for the quickest way out of the suffering rather than foreseeing God's purposes fulfilled through the suffering. We often take the stress of troubles and turbulence out on our spouse instead of trusting God to help us and to direct us. Couples who go through a trial trusting in God's Word and find that the Word of God is trustworthy. They don't rely on feelings because feelings change all the time, but their center of truth is the Bible and what God has to say. And this is what James, by the way, is challenging these Christians. He's challenging these Christians to base their response on the Word of God. To base their response on what God has to say. He says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Every time I read this passage of Scripture, it's so shocking to me that God's Word teaches us that we are to count troubles, turbulence, burdens, we are to count it joy. And if you've been through troubles, if you've been through turbulence in your marriage or in your life, you understand that our natural reaction is not to assume it being joy. Our natural response is not to embrace troubles, but to get through it as soon as possible. We don't want to go through troubles. We don't want the pain and the suffering that is found through these troubles. When difficulty descends upon our lives, our reflex is usually, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure you're guilty of this as well, our reflex is usually worry and anxiety and maybe even fear or anger. It's so easy in these moments to lose perspective. It's easy for us to fail to look to the Word of God as our guide. It's easy for us to trust in our feelings, how we feel, the anxiety or the worry or the anger that we express in our life. And when we don't look to the Bible, we soon become frustrated with the troubles in our life. The preacher Vance Havner told a story about an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed by her many troubles. Some of the troubles she faced were real. Some of the troubles she faced were not real at all. And finally, someone in her family came to this dear old woman and said, "Grandma, we've done all that we can. You're going to have to trust God." And that elderly lady looked at the situation and had a look of absolute despair come over her face. And she said, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" To which Vance Havner in his article wrote, "It always comes to that. And so you might as well begin with that." Looking to the Lord, trusting God. This passage of Scripture challenges us not to be an emotionally centered Christian, but to trust in the Word of God and to look to the Lord. We see letter B in our notes tonight, the view from a biblical perspective. View from a biblical perspective. How in the world can we count troubles and trials joy? Well, first we have to understand here this expression counted. It comes from the Greek word, which actually is used in financial accounting. It means to deem or to consider. And here the thought of this passage of Scripture when it comes to the troubles and trials of our life, what James is saying is take a step back from the turbulence that you're facing, take a step back from the troubles that you're facing, and look at the bigger picture. Consider it joy. Consider it or deem it joy in your life. In May 2001, Eric Weihenmayer accomplished something that only 150 people in the world ever accomplished. And that was he reached the top of Mount Everest. The thing about Eric's achievement, what made it unusual, is that he was the first blind person to succeed scaling the tallest mountain in the world. You see, Eric was born with a disease that by the time he was 13 years old, he was completely blind. Rather than focusing in his life of what he could not do, Eric made a decision that he was going to focus on what he could do. In Eric's autobiography, which is titled "Touch the Top of the World," it says, "A blind man's journey to climb further than the eye can see." You see, the reality is the turbulence that comes into your life has more meaning than probably you would ever understand. The troubles that you face in your life from your vantage point, you can't really see all that God is doing. But you have to rest assured and understand that God is at work. Now listen, I'm not saying you're not going to struggle with fear in your life. I'm not saying tonight that you're not going to have worry, because oftentimes we do. But during these times, we must choose to believe the promises of God. We can reach out by faith for God's grace and believe. Think about in the Bible, the higher perspective that we see in the Bible. One of the greatest examples would probably be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, as 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, refers it to as a thorn in the flesh. And Paul never really tells us what physically is wrong with him. We would assume that it was some kind of chronic physical ailment that he faced. Many believe that he was blind. But Paul prayed three times, three seasons of prayer. Paul prayed for God to change the circumstances. He pleaded with God, God, change my circumstances. God never took away the thorn. God never took away the turbulence in Paul's life. But instead, what he did was refocus Paul's vision. He recentered his life to the truth of the Bible. And that's why he could say in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul would say, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities. No sane individual would say that they glory in turbulence that comes into their life, except they have a biblical perspective. Except they see something greater than what we can see at our level. We must, by faith, believe that God is in control of our life. And God allows things for our good and for His glory. Our emotional instrument panel often gets off. Sometimes it gets way off. And yet God Himself never changes. It's our victory verse for this month. Jesus Christ is always the same. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. We can trust Him. We can trust that He's working in our life. We can trust the gauges. We can trust and have a renewed joy knowing that God is in control. But see, secondly, number two, there's the benefits of turbulence. The benefits of turbulence. Another way that couples can learn to count it all joy during a time of suffering is to remember that we don't actually rejoice in the trouble or the turbulence itself, but we rejoice in what we know. And we have to understand what the Bible is saying. You see, the Bible says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. So as we look at the grammatical structure of the sentence, the joy is in the knowing. The joy is not in the trial. The joy is knowing that God will bring us through the trial. The joy is knowing that God's grace is sufficient. And in James chapter 1, there's three important gifts that God gives through trials. First of all, He gives confidence. He gives assurance. The Bible teaches us that we can know the promises of God. Now you say, Pastor Burns, I know the promises of God. I can list them all for you. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God's word is truth, and God's promises are yea and amen. I know all the promises, but I think we would all agree that troubles and turbulence, they make those promises real in our life. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's when promises are more than just head knowledge. They're more than just verses you learn in Sunday school. They're verses you live and experience in your life. And a Christian who goes through troubles and difficulties, they experience that confidence, knowing that God's promises are true, that God always keeps His word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know. My wife loves to do puzzles. Me, not so much. No one has patience for that. But my wife loves taking that picture and one piece at a time, placing them together. And in the end, you have a wonderful picture, a wonderful portrait. And that's what God is doing in our life. One piece doesn't make the portrait. But all of it together, when it's all completed, there's a wonderful picture there. God says that the individual things may hurt, but they all work together to accomplish God's purpose. We know this truth, the Bible says. And we can trust God. Romans 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We see also that turbulence brings endurance into our life. God also uses trials to bring patience or endurance into our life. The Bible says in James 1, 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And this word patience here is not the same idea of, you know, someone in line at the grocery store or someone waiting for an appointment at the dentist. But the thought there of patience means steadfastness and endurance and perseverance. And the only way that you can have endurance is to have turbulence. In order to get through something and endure through something, you have to have turbulence that comes into your life. It's like a football player or hockey player that goes through all the drills and the exercises and the routines, and it leaves them sore, and really it leaves them wanting to quit. And yet it's that very pain inducer that builds muscles, and he's thankful for that when a real game comes. The Bible teaches us that this patience, it brings a perfect work. And this perfect work, of course, is maturity. God desires for us to be mature, spiritually mature, to be a Christian that people can come to in difficult times because they endured. Spiritual maturity is built from endurance. And every trial that we encounter as a married couple, God wants to build spiritual maturity in our life. We see in James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Greek word there for perfect is not that you'll have sinless perfection, but the thought there is a finished work, maturity. God wants to bring maturity in our life. God takes that chisel and he begins to take away those rough edges. He brings trials into our life so that we would become conformed into the image of Christ. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says we know that all things work together for good. Well, what is that good? Well, it describes it in Romans 8:29. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. All of the troubles or the turbulence or all the pieces of our life come together for good so that we would be like Jesus. We would be conformed into the image of Christ. And then thirdly, and I'll be done, I want us to think about together in turbulence. Together in turbulence. One of the most amazing aspects of God's work in a marriage couple, we learned it at the very first lesson in our marriage course, is that weaving process. God bringing together, melting two lives into one. And turbulence is either going to tear us apart or it's going to weave us together. Turbulence that comes or trials that come into our life is either going to make our bond stronger or it's going to tear us apart. And this kind of maturing, it doesn't just happen overnight. This comes with really time and maturity as we respond the right way to the troubles and the trials that God brings into our life. And so how do we endure? How do we move forward as a couple during these troubles? Because they're going to come, folks. The Bible teaches us, don't be surprised when they come. And so how do we endure? How do we go forward? Well, first of all, we pray together. We pray together. They say that a couple who prays together stays together. James chapter 1 and verse number 5 invites us to simply ask God for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, the Bible says. And there'll be times of trial that will come into your life that you'll have to make decisions that you don't have answers. There'll be times in your life where you'll have needs that that are not met, and you'll have to ask God to meet those needs, and you'll have to pray together. You'll have to get on your knees and ask God to help you. You'll have to ask God for wisdom. And He uses these times of needs and turbulences in our life to bring us closer to each other as we draw closer to Him, as we look to Him. And then we're going to have to trust together. We're going to have to trust together. Determine up front that you're going to continue to trust in the goodness and the sovereignty of God. And there'll be times when our hearts and our minds will be filled with questions, and maybe one spouse will kind of get strayed, and yet another spouse will come and will encourage to trust and encourage the other to keep following the Lord. Those questions that we have to trust the Lord even when clarity is not given. We pray and we ask God to help us, but there are times when we don't have clarity. We don't have answers. And so what do? Well, we trust. We trust that God knows best. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I think one of the greatest blessings of having a Christian family, a Christian marriage, is encouraging each other to live and to trust God by faith, looking to the Lord. I say also we need to press together. Press forward for the Lord. I love the quote of Hudson Taylor. He was a pioneer missionary to China in the 19th century. And Hudson Taylor was no stranger to turbulence in his life. He buried his wife and 5 children in China. And during a great season of difficulty, Hudson Taylor wrote these words. He said, "It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What matters is where the pressure lies. See that it never comes between you and the Lord. It doesn't matter how great the pressure is, but what matters is where that pressure lies." And oftentimes we allow that turbulence to come into our life and to draw us away from the Lord. And if it's true in our relationship with the Lord, it's also true in our relationship with our spouse. Again, trials in our life have a tremendous amount of pressure. And if you wedge that pressure between your spouse, it's going to push you apart and not bring you together. It's important that we allow trials to bring us closer to Christ and ultimately closer to each other. And then also, letter D, we need to receive together. And what I mean by receive is to receive God's comfort, together to receive the grace of God. We already saw in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that God is the God of all comfort, and so encourage one another to receive that comfort from the Lord. However God chooses to use that comfort in your life, whether it's through each other as a married couple to encourage each other, through the local church, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. But receive together that comfort. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." If your eyes are not on the Lord and on the Word of God, then you will crumble under the pressure of the turbulence that comes into your life. The Bible says in John 14:16, "And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Encourage each other to keep your eyes on the Lord. And then letter E, focus together. Focus together. During a trial, there's a temptation to redirect the focus of the trial on ourselves. And according to the Bible, and I'm not making light of anyone's circumstance, but according to the Bible, we're never victims, we're always servants. And God is always at work in our life. And so focus together. Remember that every trial is for the glory of God. The Bible says to serve one another during troubles and trials, to use it as an opportunity to serve one another. And we focus on ourselves, we become victims, and woe is us, and God can't use us. But if we focus on the Lord, then we can use that energy in helping our spouse and supporting our spouse during the turbulence that comes into our life. In 1799, Conrad Reed discovered a 17-pound rock while fishing in Little Meadow Creek, more than I've ever caught fishing, ever. Not knowing what that rock was, he decided to take it and use it as a doorstop. And it sat there as a doorstop for 3 years. In 1802, his father, John Reed, took it to a jeweler, and he identified that that was not just a rock, it was a lump of gold. And it was worth $3,600. Now, in 1802, that was a lot of money, a lot of money. That lump of gold that was used for a doorstop for 3 years in North Carolina is one of the largest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rockies. Sometimes we look at the turbulence that comes into our life and we think it's just a heavy, useless burden. But God has a purpose in it. And God has a plan in it. When you encounter times of testing or turbulence, remember that God desires to use that trial and to make you more like Christ and to help you and your spouse to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. But be warned, this process is not automatic. You're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to choose to follow the Lord. You're going to have to purposely choose to trust the instrument panel of God's Word and not your emotions and not your feelings. You're going to have to patiently stand on the Word of God and know that God has a purpose and encourage each other to keep on pressing forward for the glory of God. Because it's not if trials come, it's when trials come. And when they do, you need to endure them together for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray.